Steve. Let me pray for you, my brother. Lord Jesus, thank you for Steve. Thank you for Helen and Beth and Bryony as well, Lord. Thank you for that wonderful family. And I just pray for Steve now that you would speak through him, Lord, and you wouldn't leave any of our hearts untouched by your word tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Will. Yeah. So a bit more about that story in a minute. But we are starting a new series on being sent, and this week is the challenge of being sent. So I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to talk about shalom, which is a Hebrew word for peace. I'm going to talk about sending. I'm going to talk about the Spirit. But what I'd like us to do, something a little bit unusual, is our Bible reading is going to come up on the screen, and I thought it would be really good if we read it together. Are you up for this? Okay. After three. One, two, three. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, you're probably wondering why Brian is sitting very patiently behind me, because I've asked him to see if we can do a moment of name that tune. So I think credit to Brian for having a go. So, Brian, do you want to have a go at this? Getting it now. That's thank you very much, Brian. It's great, isn't it? Now, if any of you were at home this afternoon, it was actually on the telly this afternoon. Did anybody see it? Anybody see some of it? But no. But the big line in there, isn't it? Your mission, should you wish to accept it. And then it says, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Unfortunately, I'm going to be around a bit longer than 5 seconds in case you were thinking about getting rid of me that quickly. But isn't it obvious in the films that it's Mission Impossible, but actually it's the movies, isn't it? So it isn't always that impossible, because they always seem to manage to do what they were sent to do. And do you know what? That is what mission is. Mission is about being sent. And God has chosen us for his mission. As believers in Jesus Christ, you and I are sent to continue his mission in the world. We may think, though, in this current climate, that it does seem like mission impossible. People can seem a bit uninterested in God or the church. It may seem it's a bit irrelevant, or life's too busy to come to church or even consider it. But you see, every person matters to God. So I want to tell you the first of a story. So we have the slide up. See if you can recognize this little dog. Anybody know who this dog is? This dog is called Penny. And it's a really sad story, but it's actually got quite a happy ending. This dog is a year old, it's a puppy. It was having an operation at the vets in Buckingham. The vets were out walking it after its operation, and it slipped its collar and ran off. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like to be the vets ringing up the parents saying, "I've just hit your dog." So the couple come down, and the vets come out, and they start looking for this dog all over Buckingham. You can imagine they're calling their name, "Penny, Penny." They're trying every single area that they can try and find, and they've got all the community, they're posting pictures on Facebook, they're telling everybody, they're telling all their friends, a whole group of people coming out all over Buckingham. Hour after hour after hour, they keep looking for this dog, keep calling its name. About 8 hours they've been calling and following. But can you imagine that moment when the dog hears its name, Penny. And suddenly the look on its face, and it turns and runs into its owner's arms, and then they take it home, and here's the picture of Penny at home on her favorite chair. Now, the Bible talks a lot about lost stories as well, but for me, it's God's a bit like that, that God is calling us by name in many instances, in many times during our lives. And sometimes that moment when we hear his voice, we connect with what he's saying. Because Jesus says every soul is lost without Jesus. But the Bible also says that there is great rejoicing across heaven when even a single person hears God's voice. When someone hears in their heart, the moment it leaves their lips with that prayer and asking Jesus to come into their life and be their friend, there is rejoicing across heaven, and people feel like they've come home. You see, the driving force, the ultimate reality of Jesus' life was that he was sent on a mission, and that mission was singular in focus. It was for you and for me. If you're here exploring church or Christianity or Jesus, I want you to hear this tonight, that you are his missing son or his missing daughter. And he wants nothing more than for you to come home. You see, the thing for us as well is the mission is not about something that we go and do. It is actually something that we are. We are sent, just like Jesus, to seek and save those who are lost. And this church is obedient to that calling. We heard it earlier on. There's an Alpha course starting next week, which helps to explain a bit more about who Jesus is and what he came to do. And our vision is that we want to make disciples. We want to change the world. And that is our purpose. It's a mission that we want to devote our life to pursuing as a Christian myself. So let me tell you a second story. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a vicar in the Church of England as well. Funny how these things follow, isn't it? And I attended Sunday school right from a very young age. And I would say I was a very good Christian boy. But then on a Pathfinder camp at about the age of 13, I remember the person who was speaking, and he asked us to put our name at the beginning of this sentence. So for me, it was Steve. If you were the only person alive on this earth, Jesus would still have come and died for you because he loves you so much and wants you to have a relationship with the God who created you. And that changed something in me from just being a faith that I kind of inherited from my parents to something that I realized and understood for myself. And it gave me purpose and like a mission for my life. And there was a song some of you might remember from that age that goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it, you won't worry. I want to serve the purpose of God while I am alive. I want to give my life to something that will last forever. Oh, I delight to do your will. And I recognize that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, that he's the answer to our world, he's the hope for our nations, and because God loves you and specifically made you, you matter, and we matter before God. And I'm committed to living my life for him and following wherever he will send me. And I used to say that with real confidence and real, you know, I'm really up for this, God. And he sent me to some amazing places. I would even say that he's probably sent us to Buckingham here as a family. But as Will said, I'm about to embark on probably the biggest sent challenge of my life. And you know, if I'm being perfectly honest, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do it. Because I know how difficult it's going to be. I grew up with a dad who was a vicar. There's a part of me that's scared. There's a part of me that says, am I going to be able to do what this job entails? We're going to need to move house. We're going to need to leave Buckingham at some point. It's going to be really hard on the family. There's going to be sacrifices we have to make. I'm going to have to give up my job that I really love. And you know what? Like the story from the Bible that we'd read earlier on, there's a part of me, like the disciples, would like to take the really safe option and say, God, I don't want to go. I want to stay behind those locked doors because I'm frightened of what it's going to involve. But just like the disciples, Jesus breaks into that moment of when we think we're safe. And he comes and he says, peace be with you. You see, the thing that God has been challenging me is that when we seek safety, we silence the voice of God. That when we seek safety, we silence the voice of God. So when Jesus appears before those disciples, even when they were trying to hide, he is still seeking them out. And he stands there and he says, Shalom, peace be with you. All your fears, all your negative thoughts that you have about what this is going to entail, Jesus says, peace be with you. And just to be absolutely sure, he says it twice, doesn't he, in this passage. Peace be with you. And then Jesus stands there and says to them, look at my hands. Look at my feet. And I think Jesus is saying, look, I'm a real person. I have risen from the dead. But look what I did on the cross for you. And then the disciples, seeing his hands, seeing it was Jesus, the passage says that they were filled with joy. But I also think Jesus says, look at my hands. Not just look what I did for you, but look for what I did for this world, for this whole world. Because he says, do you get what I did? Do you get that I died on the cross? Do you fact that I love you and I love this world so much? Because then he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And just think about that for a moment. This is God himself living amongst us, who was sent by God. Because we have a God who is a sending God, isn't he? He sends. The history of the Bible talks about people that he sent. From Moses, from Gideon, from Jeremiah, even John the Baptist is described as there came a man sent by God. And finally God sends his son. And that's what set his life apart. He offered himself to be sent. And his whole mission and his whole life was about being sent. And there are many passages in the Bible that talk about it. So I've just picked out a few just in John's Gospel. My food, Jesus says, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. For I seek not to please myself, but in him who sent me. I stand with the Father who sent me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. the one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. Isn't that incredible? Verse after verse after verse, Jesus knew his sent mission. And as the Father sent me, so I send you to seek and save the lost, to be a light to the world, to love with compassion, to proclaim the good news, enact the good news, release the captives, heal the blind, feel the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, feed the poor, support the marginalized, sent by God in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to do even greater things than these. In John 14, Jesus tells you, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Isn't that incredible? That Jesus has been sent, we have been sent, as the Father sent Jesus, so he sends us. And he come to send us on that mission. Well, the ultimate reality is that we live a sent life. So I want to tell you another story. James Emery White is a preacher in America, and he tells a story that Jesus arrives in heaven. Right, after his ministry is finished on earth, he arrives in heaven, and the angels gather around him, and they say, "Tell us, Jesus, what was it like down there?" So he starts telling them about the miracles. He starts telling them about the teaching, about his death and the resurrection. And angel Michael says to him, "So what happens now?" Jesus said, "Well, I've left behind 11 faithful disciples who will declare my message and express my love. These faithful 11 will establish my church, and that church will take that message, my life, out to the world." And Michael says, "Well, what if they fail? What then?" And Jesus says, "I have no other plan. You see, people, we are it. The thing is, whether or not we like it or not, we feel uncomfortable or comfortable with it or whatever, we are it. We are the ones that have been sent to bring the good news of Jesus to this world. But we often sit there, like me and my sent about being a vicar, and think, I can't do that. I can't find the words. There's other people in the church that are far more gifted, far better people than I am to do that. And the purpose of this church, I believe, is to mobilize us as people to accomplish that mission so that we, like Paul, can say in Acts that I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news about the grace of God. But you see, there is a challenge that goes with that as well. And in a similar passage in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am sending you like lambs among wolves." People, this is really hard, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but that is not a very good image to me if you're going to send people into the world. To give you the imagery of being sent as lambs amongst wolves is not your best example. They're vulnerable, they're innocent, they're small, bouncing. I did toy with whether or not I put a picture of wolves up as well, but I thought that was probably a bit scary. But you see, the thing with lambs is they have really bad eyesight, but they have really good hearing. So Jesus is saying, you walk not by sight, but by faith. Hear me, listen to me, hear my words, close your eyes and open your ears and hear what I have to say. Because some of the very last words that Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. You see, we're not left on our own to try and do this challenge, this sent, this mission business. But you see, what often happens is that the sending part of our passage comes first before the Spirit is breathed on us. But I would say that for me, I don't know about you, but I often miss the Spirit bit because I don't get the sent bit. I don't put myself in places where I can see that I've been sent, and therefore I don't experience God's Spirit like maybe we should. Because sometimes we think we want to prepare for the right conditions. We want life to be in a better place. Maybe there's things I need to sort out about myself first. There's always things to be sorted out about us. Maybe there's some answers. Maybe there's some training. Maybe I just want to get the right words. But we'll never go. We wonder what we will say, what we will do, how we could possibly make a difference. How could God possibly use me? But you see, the thing is, we go with the promise that Jesus has breathed his Spirit into us, and we listen and we obey, because when the Spirit comes, things happen. Life changes, situations change, people are forgiven, they have freedom, they have new life. So the big question for us tonight is, what are we doing that we can't get done unless the power of the Spirit falls on our life? Let me just say that again. What are we doing that we can't get done unless the power of the Spirit falls on our life? Are we prepared to put ourselves in a situation where we are fully reliant on God and His Spirit to fulfill His purposes in this world? And that's a scary place to be, but we know that God in His Spirit is with us. James Emery White also shares a story about a Christian college history professor who visits a local nursing home every week. And it's a respite care place for the elderly. So a student stops him one day and says, "How wonderful that you have a love for these elderly people, and you've got a real gift for that sort of thing." And the professor says, "Love it, gift for it. Think I enjoy smelling urine, stepping over bedpans, talking with someone who drifts off into moments of dementia? You've got to be kidding me." And the student says, "Well, why do you do it?" And the professor says, "Because that is where Christ would be. And that is what Christ would do. And I am a follower of Christ, and He has sent me." You see, what makes us Christians is not that we go to church. What makes us Christians is that we go into the world. And I believe we are all sent people. But the thing is, God's plan for this world hinges on us going in obedience and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know about you, about what's holding you back. Maybe it's fear, loss of comfort, the sacrifices that we might have to make, maybe the rejection that we'll get. Maybe we might not have the words. But for all that being a vicar is going to challenge me about, I'm up for accepting that sending mission. So what about you? You see, with God's Spirit, it becomes mission possible. And we each have our part to play. And being sent might not necessarily mean becoming a vicar. It might not mean being sent off to some other country in another world or some far geography or some cultural thing. But I think we're all called to be sent to our neighbors, to our colleagues, to our friends, and our families. And I wonder if we can commit today to pray for two or three people and ask God to provide opportunities for us to speak to them about the love he has for them and the plan he has for their life. And that maybe we can support one another in that through our connect groups to keep challenging one another. How are you getting on? How is that happening? So are you prepared to accept the challenge of being sent to seek and save the lost? If you are, today is an opportunity to recommit to being sent, to like draw a line before God to say, I'm going to be doing it differently now, God. Today is an opportunity, like in Acts, when Paul and Barnabas are sent off in the power of the Spirit. I love that word, sent off. It often has bad connotations, doesn't it? When you have a red card and you get sent off. But actually what I want to do is I want to turn it into something that is more positive. So on this red card has the word sent and today's date. And this is an opportunity for you and me to be commitment to God, to say today, God, on the 23rd of April, I'm committed to being sent on your mission. And in a minute, Will is going to come up and give us some opportunity to act like a commissioning of us being sent out. As our new commitment to being sent despite the challenges that we're willing to be sent. And then as Tim comes up and the band plays, there's going to be these cards at the front. And I would invite you to come up and take your own card that can go in your wallet or your purse, that you keep it with you, that every time you see it, you're reminded that you are a sent people on God's mission possible. Amen.
I actually really like the idea of this being a red card. I like the idea of going, right, you're red carded out into the community. Because it is comfortable in church, isn't it? I mean, I'm the world's worst offender. I love coming to church. I love seeing all you guys. I love talking to people I know and love. And actually, I find it scary getting out there and having conversations with people I don't know and I don't love. So somebody needs to go, Will, you're red carded. Get out there. Share your faith with somebody you haven't met. So what we're going to do is we're going to carry on, and some words are going to come up on the screen. And I think it'd be nice, actually, if we stood now. So why don't we stand? And now, clearly, there will be some people here who'll be thinking to themselves, this does not include me. And that is absolutely fine. You will know, because the Holy Spirit will be touching your hearts already. You'll know if this is you. So if it's you, then I just invite you just to join in by saying, I will, at the end. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I'd like to commission anyone here who seeks to follow Jesus and is happy to be red carded and to send you out as Christ's ambassadors and missionaries into the world, which is your place of work. It's your circle of friends. It's your neighbors in your street. And it is this community that you have called us to live in. So I ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would let your light so shine before all those people that they may see your good works and give glory to God. And so, Heavenly Father, I commend these people to this work. And we pledge as a church team, and me as your leader, I pledge our prayers in support of you, our encouragement, and our support. So will you faithfully carry out this mission to the best of your ability, to the honor of God, and to the benefit of this community? I will. So let me just pray for you. Now listen, I don't really go with praying for inanimate objects, okay? But I'm going to kind of pray over these red cards. And Lord, I'm just going to pray that these red cards, when they go into people's houses, because I'm going to put mine up, I'm going to blue tack mine to my computer screen, that Lord, as that these cards would be like a voice from you, Lord Jesus, saying, don't forget, you're sent. Don't forget, you're sent. And so, Almighty God, look with favor upon all the people here who've said, I will. That you would bless them as they are sent out to follow you and serve in your name. And I pray, Lord, you would give everyone courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen each and every one of us in our Christian vocation to witness in the world. And I pray you would encourage people to invite others on Alpha. And then when more details are forthcoming about this mission on the 19th and the 20th to the 21st of May, that you would encourage us to step up and take part of that. And I ask all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.